Welcome to day 18, the day you end financial self-sabotage. That's our focus today. Yesterday, we talked about wealth wounds, and I hope you took the time to do your homework and really go through those seven wounds and start making progress to healing them. But I have to tell you, the number one thing that keeps people from really having what they want financially is not the lack of a plan. It is not the lack of good advice. It is not the lack of possibility. It's not the lack of intelligence. It's not even the lack of capital. It is this unending process that most Americans go through of sabotaging their own financial success. So why do we do this to ourselves? Why is it that right when we start to really make financial progress, we do something stupid, or we stop following through, or we stop practicing the fundamentals we know will lead us to financial abundance? I believe the answer is what we talked about yesterday, and let's review it. Everything we do in our lives, we do for one of two reasons, to either avoid pain or to gain pleasure. If you are sabotaging yourself in any area, and we're going to talk about this again and again, it is simply because you believe at some level of your thinking, subconscious thinking, if not conscious thinking, that this situation that you're getting involved in, the accumulation of additional capital, is going to lead to more pain than pleasure. And again, I know that sounds insane and crazy, but I have to tell you, it's absolutely accurate in any person that I've studied who's been living in financial lack. In addition, many people associate pleasure to having a lack of financial abundance. Because, see, think about it. When people really do well financially and they're around their friends, what happens? Well, I can tell you from experience. When I was really young, I really went for it. 19 years old, had my own company, written up in newspapers and magazines. Wonder Boy, you remember me, right? Ego exploding. Well, sure enough, I was making all this money, about $10,000 a month. I was jazzed. Except, I thought money was going to lead to pleasure. I looked around and saw all the problems in my family, said, hey, if I got money, I can eliminate those, and I got a lot more fun. I can give to my friends, and I'd go back to my friends and want to take them with me on a trip or want to go someplace. And they were uncomfortable. In fact, a lot of them started to judge me. And all of a sudden, some of them treated me harshly, and some of them made excuses. Some of them stopped going out to dinner with me. Some would say, well, you know, I don't have a home like yours. And I said, I don't care. But what began to happen is I began to link that having money didn't mean the pleasure I thought it was going to mean. My brain started linking up having a lot of money means that people reject you. People you care about aren't comfortable with you. All of a sudden, I started feeling like an outcast. All of a sudden, I started feeling all this pain. And sure enough, within a short period of time, my brain, on some level, not consciously, but subconsciously, began to just destroy everything economically. And I already told you how I did it. Not showing up for key meetings, right? Treating people harshly, distracting myself through eating food continuously, watching television. All those elements came up to destroy my finances. And so we must remember how our brains work. They don't work logically. They work on what we associate to things. So if we're going to eliminate financial self-sabotage, the answer is very simple. You've heard it over and over again, and again you'll hear it from me. And that is, we must change our neuroassociations about money. That is, we've got to change some of our core beliefs. We've got to make sure that earning money is purely a positive and pleasurable experience for us and not one in our mind that's going to lead to pain. Again, some people think, God, I'll have to pay all these taxes. And they don't have the money and they're worrying about the problem. No wonder they'll never have any. Why are they already considering the negative aspects of having money? The answer, I believe, is that for most people, having an abundance of money is the unknown. And it's experience they've never had before. And people are basically afraid of the unknown. See, they know how it is right now. They understand it. They understand the status quo. And that's fairly comfortable. I mean, you might have a little bit of pain, but the unknown, now that's really scary. So I've found that most people fail to achieve what they want financially or sabotage themselves financially simply because they haven't gotten themselves ready for wealth, financial wealth. They've not conditioned themselves emotionally to have money. They've not developed the kinds of beliefs that would allow them to create an abundance of money and then continually expand that money as well. You remember the metaphor we talked about when we started this program? That what we have to do to really succeed, we have to build up our ability. We have to condition ourselves just as we would physically. And you start with a little bit and you begin to work with it each day, increasing the amounts until pretty soon what happens is you really develop the muscle. but you've got to be able to use it. You've got to condition your arms, for example, to be able to do curls. Well, you're going to have to condition your mind and your emotions in order to be able to have an abundance of money and feel comfortable with it. Otherwise, even though it's something that's very positive, it may feel like a weight to you because you just don't know how to deal with it. So how do we first get beyond the sense of lack? How do we first begin to create that wealth? And then how do we keep ourselves from destroying it once the abundance starts to flow? The way to really create the wealth that you want in your life starts with step number one. The way to get wealthy right now today is to free yourself from the illusion that you're not already wealthy. You say, what are you talking about, Tony? I don't have any money. Listen, wealth is not just money. Wealth is an abundance of the things that you really desire in your life. Wealth is leverage. That is the ability to have experiences that you have not personally controlled or generated. What do I mean? Well, you are wealthy. You live in a country where there is abundance around you all the time, and you own it just for living here. I mean, you own the public highways. You don't have to pay anything for most of them across the country. You own many of these government buildings. You can go in. They're yours. You can use them anytime you want. You can go into a public library and get access to any book that's ever been written virtually, and it costs you nothing. Think about it. Leverage in your life is everywhere. You didn't have to go out and actually create your breakfast, nor did you have to hunt down your dinner. These things have been done for you. You say, well, yes, I paid for them. Yeah, that's true. And it wasn't on your back that the salt came out of mines so that you could put it on your food. You are truly wealthy. The level of abundance that you and I experience every single day, no matter how much money we earn, compared to the rest of the world, is absolutely absurd. And yet we walk around feeling like we have lack. And see, like attracts like. Whatever you hold on a consistent basis in your mind is exactly what you'll experience in your life. So the first key to becoming wealthy is to understand that you already are. Now, wanting to expand that, I believe that's healthy. You know, some people say, well, is it really right to make more money? I mean, if you've got a lot, is it right? Well, let me ask you a question. If you're intelligent, is it right for you to continue to want to expand and become smarter? Is it right if you're already close to your husband or wife to want to deepen that relationship even more? Is it right for you to want your children to have even more, to be happier, to be stronger, to have better relationships? Is that right? Is it right, no matter how close you feel to your Creator, to want that bond to be even stronger and to strive for it? Is that right? I've got a question for you. If you could have more in your life, if you could have more, then should you? If there are things you could do that create greater abundance in any area of your life, then should you? And my answer to you is absolutely. I think I shared with you earlier in this program that there was a point in my life where I thought, gosh, if I have so much abundance and other people don't, there's something wrong there. That's unfair. Hey, listen, every single one of us was born with opportunities. We're equal in our opportunities. We're not equal in our decisions. We're not equal in our education. We're not equal in how much we demand from each other or from ourselves. We're not equal in our motivation. We could choose to be, but most of us are not. Now, I know there's the argument that, hey, I grew up in the South Bronx, or I grew up in a difficult part of town, or I didn't have the role models. I can certainly appreciate that 100%. I really do believe that there are many people in our society that don't seem to start out with the same level of resources, no doubt about it. So my approach to that used to be, well, I really care about people that have less than I do. I care about people that are poor financially. In fact, my strategy was the best way to help poor people is I'll be one of them. Well, that's not exactly the most intelligent approach. Instead, what I decided to do was realize that no matter what someone's resources were, I didn't have any either. I didn't have any great role models. I didn't grow up wealthy, not even middle class. And yet I was able to make the things work because I pursued them. And no matter where I've looked in the country, no matter how horrible the environment, there are a few people from that environment that somehow have made it work for themselves, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, physically, and financially. So why did these people make it in spite of all the odds? The answer was not necessarily more talent or more ability, but that they were able to get access to their talent and ability because they had beliefs that empowered them in each of these areas, including financial. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Your finances will not change until your core beliefs change. Trying to turn around financial sabotage simply by working harder, by the way, will not work. The reason is you'll work harder and your beliefs like this rubber band. You'll push, stretch yourself out there, it'll start to make some progress, and right when you get to a certain point of threshold, whammo, the rubber band snaps you right back to where you were. I mean, haven't you experienced this sometimes? The only way to break through is get rid of the rubber bands. Expand your picture of your life financially so that what's happening is you're on a road you're always building and one that's always expanding. In addition, you must believe that by building your road, what you're also doing is creating a way for others to travel to their dreams as well simultaneously. So since it starts with our own beliefs, we got to remind ourselves what beliefs are. Beliefs are nothing but a feeling of certainty about what something means. So again, if you've got limiting beliefs, it just means you've got beliefs, you have a feeling of certainty that having money is going to be more painful than not having it. That having an abundance of money is going to be more painful than not having an abundance. Yeah, you can get by and it'll be okay. You've got to change that. How do we do it? Well, one, the easiest way to change anything is to link pain to the thing we want to change. In other words, link in our own minds that if I don't change this belief system, it's going to cost me so much, it's going to hurt so bad that your brain says, I'll do anything to get rid of that belief, and then show your brain an alternative, one that by applying it, you'll have pleasure. Now, what most people do in life is sit around and hope that someday something magical will turn it around. Or again, they go out and just work harder and harder and harder, and they wonder why they still can't make it financially. No matter how much money they make, they always end up with more month at the end of the money. Maybe I was one of the lucky ones. Maybe I just have a low threshold for pain because I just couldn't take it. I found so much frustration in not being able to go certain places, not being able to be with certain people who are traveling, not being able to give some of the things I really wanted to give most to the people I cared about, not being able to have the lifestyle and the freedom of choice in terms of my time and my energy and the things that I was going to have in my life as well. It was so painful, so embarrassing, so frustrating that finally one day I said, I have had it. And that is a great place to get. Get to the place where you've had it, where you've gone through threshold, where you're not willing to do that anymore. But here's the key. When you realize you've got it, know what the reason is. It's because of your beliefs, and you need to go inside and shift them now.